Welcome to Career Tools. This week, the 18-month rule of promotions. We bet you didn't know it. Here we go. Folks, if you haven't tried it yet, we encourage you to take a look at our interviewing series, 15 podcasts about how to interview, way down in the weeds, nitty gritty, how to prepare your resume, how to write a cover letter, how to prepare, how to dress, how to know how to be good at chit chat, how to answer the big questions like tell me about yourself and leadership style and significant accomplishments, how to close, how to follow up, everything in the style that we are known for here at Manager Tools and Career Tools, way down in the weeds and specific. So check it out. Thanks. So you're right. When I saw the title of this cast, I immediately was like, yeah, we've never talked about this.
No. And yeah,
people think they should be able to get promoted when they want to get promoted.
Uh-huh. It's one of those things you see on TV and you hear things in magazines and all those kind of things, and you have this impression. Until you've seen thousands of CVs,
exactly.
You don't know. You have this impression of what the rhythm of your career should be, and you don't know that there's a million different rhythms, and what you're doing is fine, which is kind of the message.
Yeah, promotions are kind of the black box of careers. Those people who want promotions know what they want, but they don't really understand what goes on. They don't understand the process at all. In fact, it occurs to me, we need to do a joint Manager Tools and Career Tools, something about how the promotion process happens. Mm-hmm. And the two places that are most black boxy, in my opinion, about careers, individual careers, not organizational processes, are promotions and interviews.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So tell us what we're going to talk about.
Okay.
So if I can't get promoted in 18 months, I want to know why.
So don't expect to be promoted sooner than 18 months. We're going to talk about why that is.
Yeah.
Don't move companies to speed this up, which is advice I see on the internet all the time.
Yeah.
And go at your own pace.
Yeah, I think you go to the internet and, if it's on the internet, it's true, right?
Of course.
Yeah. I am shocked at what passes for advice and guidance, right? You and I even send Wall Street Journal articles back and forth saying, can you believe an intelligent person is recommending some young person do this, which is literally career suicide? So, 18 months is the rule.
Yeah, and when you're new in the workforce and you've just got out of college or you've just started straight after school, and you just have this impression of like, I'm young, I'm really bright, I
get this stuff.
I'm driven, I'm willing to work 80 hours a week, 90 hours a week, whatever it is to do it, and I'm going to be promoted in really fast. And those people, those old fuddy-duddies that are saying that, it can't be done, they haven't seen me yet.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the truth is, you're not. You are not the exception.
Yeah.
You can't go too fast because right now you know nothing.
Right.
And even if your results are absolutely the best that the company has ever seen, it's still unlikely that they're going to promote you.
You know, it occurs to me now that I had some of this, Mike would tell you this because we were assigned together in the Army. And one of the things that Kate kept, part of the thing that kept me from shooting myself in the head rather than just in the foot several times early in my career was when I had gone to West Point because I knew I needed that as opposed to just going to some Ivy League school. And then the other thing was I knew the Army wouldn't promote me. There was a rigidity there, so I knew I couldn't go any faster. I might could have gotten a different job, but fundamentally the pacing of it was made very obvious very early. And of course, lieutenants were the bottom of the barrel. But it occurs to me, if I were at a civilian company, I probably would have made this mistake.
You would have been that person. Absolutely. I would be that person. All the Heidis that are listening are that person. Or probably the worst of it.
Yeah. One of the things that I found is that if somebody wants to get promoted because they've earned it, they've done well in the job below it. But the problem is, when you get promoted, there's an assumption when you're at a certain level that there are certain things you know.
Yeah.
And some of those things you can only know by having more experiences. There are rare exceptions, but it's unlikely you're that person. And people get promoted, and then they wonder why they fail in their first job, because they don't know stuff that everybody expects them to know. And suddenly, because they don't know it, they're way overwhelmed. And take the hour off the ball, but what's really important, and it's too bad. Yeah.
There's a big difference between being an awesome salesperson who blows all the targets out of the way and being a sales manager and being able to explain what you did in order to achieve that to other people.
Right.
And you need to learn that skill before you can be a manager.
Yeah, and the whole first jump to manager, we have to have a whole series on that in Manager Tools. People are always asking about it, and we constantly talk about it, but we don't have a series. Yeah, and you only learn that job. And when you're doing that job well, there's a different set of skills. Mm-hmm. People who are brilliant at operating things often tend to be not so good at managing. It may be that you're good at both. And folks, we'd love for that to be true. But it doesn't follow by definition mm-hmm. that if you're good as a mechanic, that you're going to be good managing mechanics. You know, we have a story. Did it ever come out in a podcast?
The Tragedy of the Welder. I was trying to remember the title, but yeah, it's in one of the podcasts.
Yeah, the Tragedy of the Welder is the welder who gets promoted because he's the best welder. And generally, what most people don't understand is psychologically, when you give somebody a reward for doing something, there is a natural tendency, lacking other input, to keep doing what got you the reward. Mm-hmm. And I watched a senior person who was a great welder and well-liked on the team virtually lose his career because they promoted him to be the manager of the welders and he kept welding and assumed everybody else self-managed themselves the way he did,
exactly.
Which is why he was so good at his job.
Yeah.
And the team fell apart and people started yelling at him and nobody ever taken the time to say, your job is different now. You only get to weld 20% of the time. And the rest of the time you have to do paperwork and go to meetings and so on, which if they told him, I'm sure he would have said, no, thank you.
I'll be a great welder.
And yeah. It was a tragedy because management didn't do anything. Management wanted to blame him and nobody ever told him, this job is different. And he didn't want to do that job. And it's okay to not want to be a manager. It's not okay to be in the management role, not do it, and then have your bosses say, well, you're not doing your job simply because management didn't tell you this is what you need to do.
And if you're in that welding position right now and you're thinking, you know, you're listening to us and you're thinking, do I have to be promoted? The answer is no. If you never want to be a manager, if you just don't feel that you have the skills or you don't want to do it or whatever, don't think that in the first 10 years of your career, you have to become a manager.
No.
You can do it later. You can never do it and still be a really great person, a really productive member of the society, and still get jobs that you want.
Yeah, and two things related to that. I know a lot of people who finally became managers when they were 35. If they found manager tools, like, this is great. I feel like I know what I'm getting into. And there are a lot of people who became managers at 23 and then later say when they found us at 35, go, I wish I'd have known this 15 years ago. Plus, you're going to be a little wiser, a little more savvy if you've become a manager for the first time when you're 35. The other side of that coin that I think of often is people who want to become managers and don't, and they're delayed because of this rule and other rules and all kinds of things, reorganizations and different managers, and they don't really get a shot. And maybe it's been 5 or 6 years and they haven't gotten promoted, and they begin to get unhappy. And what I try to counsel them on is, don't put the driver of your happiness in the hands of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're recording here in Dulles. Last night, I finished up the day of EMC, our Effective Manager Conference. We're doing an Effective Communications Conference later today. I said, I've been rich and I've been poor and happy is better, meaning happiness is an inside job, folks. And if you're unhappy because you're not getting promoted, that's you giving over your happiness or the driver of your happiness to the organization. Don't do it. Now, look, you may choose to leave your company and go somewhere else where you have a better shot at being a manager. You're probably not going to be promoted to become a manager when you leave. You can't go from individual contributor company A to manager company B. It just doesn't happen. But while you're not becoming a manager, recognize there's probably a reason for it, and you can expand your knowledge enormously so that when they do give you the role, and you can be happy about your growth, rather than simply deciding you're going to stagnate, you can be happy about your growth so that when you become a manager, you'll be that much more effective at it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the further you go in your career, the more complex your work becomes, and the slower the promotions come.
Yeah.
If you look at VPs and above and the people that report to the board and CEOs. CEO tenure is different in public companies just because of the shareholders, but CEOs and all of those people right at the top of the company, they tend to be in the position for much longer because it takes that long to be good.
Yep. Yeah.
So.
Okay, good. And so what we're telling them, the actual part of this guidance is don't try to push your company to speed this up.
No.
Okay.
And we've seen, like we said earlier, guidance that says move every 18 months, you can get, you know, 10% pay rise, a 20% pay rise every time. And if you get a percentage pay rise and then you're in the company and they only give 3%, if you had the 10% pay rise at the beginning, effectively you've got more.
Yeah.
But one, it doesn't work. It's rare for someone to be able to say, I was an individual contributor at my last company and have enough convincing evidence to be interviewed and to be successful for a manager.
Yeah, it's the whole going from A to B and going up a level. Yeah, and the reason why, folks, is if you can't be made a manager at a company where they already know you, why would we make you a manager at our company?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And relationships take time, and the higher you go, the more you need relationships.
Exactly.
And let's just imagine this, because it's not going to happen, but we'll imagine that it's true for a second. If you start as an individual contributor and you work for 18 months and you move companies and become a manager, which we're saying wouldn't happen, but imagine. Yeah. So at 3 years, you're now looking for a director job, a manager of managers. But you have 3 years' experience.
Yeah. And only 18 months as a manager.
Exactly.
Yeah. And managing managers is different.
And no relationships in the new company.
Yeah.
And you think about what a director does. What do you know about the strategy and the politics of your competitors and how to reward managers? And
how to measure managers.
Yeah. And what happens if you're 21, let's see, you're 25, and you're and one of your 50-year-old managers comes to you and says, my college-age child is, you know, needs to go to rehab, I'm going to be gone for 3 months.
Yeah.
What do you know about that?
Yeah. You're probably not going to bring your best emotional game to the table. You're not going to be sensitive. You're not going to be caring that comes from life experiences. Now, folks, we're not suggesting you have to be 50 to be a good manager. Don't put words in our mouth here. But if one of your more senior people comes to you, who reports to you and says, I need to fire somebody, and you've never fired anybody,
and they want your guidance, how's that going
to
work?
Exactly. In many cases, you're going to probably distance yourself from how to do that. The other thing that you said that a lot of people conflate inappropriately is this idea of, I'm going to go from company A to company B, and I'm going to get a pay rise, which we don't say in America, by the way. We say pay raise, but anyway. And that gets to something called internal compression, which I ended up talking about a bunch this last year, and I think we need to do a podcast about it. Folks, if you stay at one company and you get promoted in that one company at roughly the same speed that you move from company to company elsewhere, you're going to end up getting paid less because of something called internal compression. Now, I could go into that for hours, but the simple answer is, when I go from company A to company B is obligated to pay me more in the talent marketplace. I won't go into all the levers for that, primarily because of the loss you have of goodwill when you leave company A. Goodwill is your ability to get things done internally at a company that aren't based just on your skills, but rather relationships, knowledge of the company, knowledge of the industry, and so on. And so they have to compensate you for it, because you're going to lose all that goodwill when you go to their company. You're going to build new relationships. You're going to have to learn new things, and you're going to be less efficient. And they have to compensate you for the pain and suffering you're going to go through in terms of relearning things that are different at different companies, because every company has its own customs. And so I see all the time on, you know, these advice things. A lot of people are giving advice on the internet, but very few people like us give recommendations. They say, oh yeah, you need to move from company A to company B, and you can get this pay rise and so on. It's like, yeah, you can get a pay rise, but it doesn't mean that you're necessarily worth more at your old company. In fact, you're probably not at your old company. Now, you may say, well, that just proves I'm worth more. Yeah, you're worth more at this new company. But when you start growing in that company, if you stay there, you'll start getting salary compressed there. Mm-hmm. And the idea that going from company to company and increasing your pay is the same thing as having more responsibility, just not true. Yeah. It just doesn't happen as often as you might think.
It's like thinking that the same house in different locations should cost the same. It doesn't, for million reasons.
Exactly, it's so contextual, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and you don't know about politics at the company, you don't know about strategy, you don't know about competitors, you don't know how your company handles downturns or upturns, you don't know about capital processes, how are you going to manage a massive workload increase.
There's 3 years experience, $1 million budgets, $5 million budgets.
And I got to guess there's probably 30% of people listening right now going, no, that's not me. They're wrong. Mm-hmm.
I can do that.
Right. Yeah. And you know what? There are some of you that you'll be able to do this. The vast majority, we say that manager tools and career tools are not for 90% of the people 90% of the time. So you may be in the 5 or 10% that this applies to. The problem is the vast majority of people assume they are, and then 5 years later are heartbroken.
Yes.
That it hasn't happened the way they want.
Yeah, so. You are going to crash and burn.
Yeah.
And you can learn to do all these things. That's why managers who are more senior than you exist and are successful at their job. But it takes so much time.
Yeah.
Much more time than you want it to. You can't learn it in books.
Yeah.
You have to do it.
Yeah.
And fail a few times.
I have a good friend whose son is a tech guy in the Silicon Valley. And he was saying, well, Dad, I want to go to work at a small company. I'll have way more responsibility. And his dad said two things. He says, well, you'll be closer to the top of the company. Mm-hmm. But you may be stapling papers together for a presentation, which is not necessarily more responsibility. You may, right? And generally, your scope of your responsibilities are broader. But he said, while that may be true, you won't have as big an impact at a small company because you won't be able to have
the playing is small.
Yeah, and the multiplier of being at a big company. Plus, if you spend 5 years at a string of small companies that go out of business or whatever, your ability to get hired by a big company, particularly ones that tend to hire only at entry level, is pretty small, and you'll feel like it's such a big come down. And he said, you know, maybe you ought to consider going to work for a couple of years at a big company where you see the big company politics, and then you can go to work for a small company where the name of the big company will help you. And he ended up going to work for a big company, and he just sent an email. His dad just forwarded it to me saying, yeah, it was absolutely the right thing to do. I just got recruited out of my company specifically because I was there. Mm-hmm. Whereas in most cases in small companies, nobody's ever heard of the small company, so you're not going to be recruited out of there. You might, but probably not.
Yeah.
So our final recommendation is to go at your own pace.
Yeah. So the fastest you are going to go in your early career is every 2 years that you're going to be promoted or you're going to change jobs. Like we said, there's exceptions, but in general, the fastest is every 2 years. And if you are moving faster than that, recruiters often look, if you're moving faster than that and your job title is changing, but your responsibilities aren't getting any more senior, mm-hmm. that's a bad sign.
Right.
So don't move every 2 years thinking, oh, I need to move.
Right.
Like, stay where you are if you can't get the next step up. And some people keep that pace up for the first 10 years and then they slow down. And some people change they don't go every 2 years, they do every 3 or every 4 or every 5. You tend to see in the first 20 years of people's careers the same, more or less the same time turnover.
Right.
But other people stay for 10 or 15 or even 20 years. We talked yesterday about some of the companies we know that recruit at entry level, like
Procter
& Gamble,
Walmart,
Enterprise.
Right.
And in order to become a manager at those companies, you have to have been there for 7 or 8 years because you started at the beginning.
Right.
So there's nothing, there is no rule. There's no, you have to do this in order to be having a successful career.
In fact, if you're in a small industry where every company is known, then a recruiter in that industry will know how long it's supposed to take at the company you're at. But anybody outside that industry doesn't know how long at Apple or at Mellon Bank or at Coca-Cola or at Applied Materials or at BNC or at SBS or at Deutsche Bank, how long that timeline is. People just don't. There are certain recruiters that are really industry specific that would know. But it's not as if some clock is ticking that everybody knows you're behind. There is one exception to that. There is a general rule. I don't know what the number is right now, frankly. I haven't done any client work in consulting firms lately. But historically, in consulting and accounting firms, there was a general rule. If you hadn't made partner, if you hadn't made MD by 7 years, or at least being considered for it in 7 years, then that was potentially a black mark. I don't think that still applies. But that's one place where I knew that tended to be true. Mm-hmm. And of course, in the military, there's a little bit of that.
Yeah. And there tends to be that in government organizations a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, when you joined the workforce, the world was your oyster. You could choose any job in any location for any reason that you wanted to. And your career stays like that. There isn't a 10-year plan that everybody should be sticking to.
Right.
It's all your own choice.
Yeah.
And as long as you can always give a reasonable explanation for the choices you made, even if you go back, I remember after I was fired, sitting in an interview and having to explain to someone I was fired and saying, I thought I really wanted to work in the public sector because I wanted to feel like I was doing something useful. And it turned out it was a really bad fit for me.
Yeah.
And the lady said, okay.
Yeah.
You know, I made a bad decision and I ended up being fired.
And it was absolutely, you thought it was going to be a big deal and it was just a puff of air. And,
exactly.
Yeah.
So even if you make a bad choice, it doesn't matter as long as you had a reason for making the choice.
Yeah, I don't think you've ever told me that. I knew you'd been fired, of course. You and I talked when that happened. And I did not know that you thought going to a public company, in a utility or in a municipality, would be more useful. And I have to say, I hear that every once in a while, and I just find it absolutely ludicrous, the idea that in government you could be useful. There may, in fact, be a more social component or a more, I don't know what the word is, serving society. And yet, if you read Peter Drucker, you'll discover that organizations exist to serve societies. And the better organizations, not the more social ones, not the nonprofit ones, not the governmental ones, the better organizations, the ones that achieve more of their mission, those are the ones who are serving society well. Now, you could argue it doesn't excite you to make tech gadgets. Okay, that's fine. But they serve society. If people are willing to pay money for their things and they believe those people are getting things that they believe make their life better, which is why you purchase things, then you're serving society. So I'd never heard that before. That's interesting. And folks, as a general rule, if you think going into the public sector will help you feel like you're serving them, Wendy's experience is probably pretty accurate. I wish I could say differently, but that's been our experience across the board. So you don't have to worry about staying in a job too long.
No,
some people will go really slow for about 5 or 10 years and discover, I really kind of topped out here. I've been happy. My family's been growing and so on. And now I realize I think I could probably do the manager job. And I've been telling myself I don't want to be a manager. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say, I don't like managing. I don't want to be that guy or whatever. Yeah, we somebody yesterday at the conference. And then discover, no, I really believe I could serve these people. These young people, they need my help, and I don't want another young manager to come in here and mess things up, so I'll take it on. And it's probably a bit of a stretch for them in some cases, but some of them take to it like a duck to water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And other people get promoted every 2 years, and they do fine. And other people get promoted every 2 years and get in above their head, mm-hmm. thinking that what they want to get promoted. And then they realize they've gotten probably a little too far and the wisdom hasn't caught up with them yet. And suddenly they remember the old saying that the higher you get up on the flagpole, the more your butt's exposed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, shall I sum up then?
Yeah, sure.
Don't expect to be promoted sooner than 18 months. Don't move companies to speed this up and go at your own pace.
Yeah, I think promotions are a case that when you hear things and you hear about things and you see TV shows and read stuff, you think that they're normal. Mm-hmm. Promotions happen. And for the vast majority of people, promotions don't happen as fast as most people have ticking in their head. The ones that do, the anomalies, the ones that stand out, are the ones that get talked about because we don't talk about things that are normal. We talk about things that are divergent. You're better off concentrating on your own career rather than comparing yourself to others. This is the equivalent of, folks, remember that every picture you see in every magazine, in every ad, of every celebrity or anyone in a picture has been photoshopped. They're not that skinny. They're not that pretty. They're not that perfect. And the stories you hear about people's careers are the stories that are really interesting. And for the vast majority of us, we're not that pretty. We're not that skinny. We're not that perfect. And it's okay. Don't try to be somebody you're not. Be you. Be the best you can be, serve other people, and recognize that you're not in charge of your promotional status. You can deliver high results. We want that. We want you to serve. We want you to grow. And recognize being promoted is usually outside of your control, unless you own the company. And that's okay. And let's worry about things within our circle of influence and not in our circle of concern.
Absolutely.
Good. Thanks, Wendy.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. That's it. Come back next week. Career Tools is always good. See you then.